Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 5 October 2025, Romans.
That is the best rendition of the national anthem that I have ever heard. And thank you all for being here and standing and appreciating that. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8, at least initially. We're going to be focusing in on the omnipotence of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. It's been several years now that this happened. They were having an award ceremony for celebrities, and a man was out and received his award, and he took questions from the audience. And one of the questions, or somebody yelled out, "Can you recite the 23rd Psalm?" And so he recited, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," went through it. When he finished, they all applauded that he recited the 23rd Psalm. And then this individual is a man, said, who asked me to recite the 23rd Psalm? And an elderly gentleman in the audience raised his hand. He said, "Sir, would you mind coming up here on stage with me?" And so he came up and stood beside the celebrity. And then he said, "Would you recite the 23rd Psalm?" And he did. "The Lord is my shepherd." And he went through it, and when he finished, it was so quiet you could hear a pin drop. And the celebrity said, "The difference between me and this gentleman here is that I know the 23rd Psalm, but he knows the shepherd." You know why? He knows the shepherd, and you have to know God to love God. And that's what we're studying here in Romans 8:28. You have to know God to love God. You can recite verses. You can recite the 23rd Psalm. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean a thing. You got to know God to love God. And so in Romans 8:28, in fact, we refers to spiritually mature believers only. We know that to the one who love God, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, all things work together for the purpose of good. In verse 28, the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on who and what God is, on the essence of God, on the attributes of God. You have to know God to love God. And many of you have, can just like the fellow reciting the 23rd Psalm, many of you can say the attributes of God. Sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. You can just run through it. That doesn't mean you know God. You have to know God to love God. And so we have been taking the time to go through each one of those attributes of the essence of God. And I have had all kinds of positive feedback from people in this congregation who came up and said, this study on Sunday morning, going through the attributes, thank you, Pastor Olson, thank you. This is great. I've had people call from other parts of the country and say, thank you for going through the attributes of the essence of God. And these are doctrinal types. Oh, they also can recite the 23rd Psalm and give you the names of the attributes, but they've never really studied to know God. You have to know God to love God. It's easy to throw out the words. You have to know God to love God. So that's why I'm taking the time to go through, and we've studied in detail sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipresence. We have come to the omnipotence of God. And in my own personal prayer life, and I love to pray. I truly love to pray. And this is my happy place. And my happy place, my sons, my wife, they know that when I say I'm going to the happy place, they know I'm coming here. And it's the happy place because Debbie will often say, did anybody show up? You have anybody there? I said, yes. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We had a great, great time. And when I get to the happy place, first thing I do is pray. I love talking to the one that I love, my most important love in my life. I love talking to him. If you ever reach that point of loving God, that'll be what you want to do. You'll want to take the time and talk to the one that's your most important love. And I love I go through the entire essence of God, the attributes of God. My prayers are pretty long. I spend about half of my time praying and half of my time studying. But whenever I get to the omnipotence of God, I know my guardian angel and any other angels that are around, they know when I get to the omnipotence of God. You are the all-powerful, omnipotent God. You could solve any problem, and I believe that with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's how I pray. And I know my guardian angel is going, well, he's on the omnipotence of God. I know you can solve any problem, and I believe that. I believe that with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And just thank God for who and why. And then I tell them, we got many people in our face-to-face congregation and non-face-to-face congregation that are winner believers. Winner believers. They have even qualified for the highest category of greater grace blessing, undeserved suffering for blessing. That's the highest of all the greater grace blessings. When you qualify to wear that mantle, what a privilege and what an honor. And it's undeserved suffering, and it's intensified undeserved suffering. And I pray for every one of those people that are going through that undeserved suffering for blessing. And I thank God that He's got precisely correct procedure to clear that hurdle. Spiritual hurdle, undeserved suffering. And that problem, those precisely correct procedure is God's problem-solving devices. And I thank Him for those. And I pray for each one of those people in my prayer list, face-to-face members going through undeserved suffering, non-face-to-face members going through undeserved suffering for blessing. And I just thank God, You're the omnipotent God. You can solve any problem. And I pray that these winner believers clear the hurdle and glorify You in times of suffering as well as in times of good health or prosperity. I love the omnipotence of God. So let's take a look at the omnipotence of God. Point one is definition and description. Subpoint one, God is all powerful. God is all powerful. Point two, His power is infinite. His power is infinite. Three, God's limitless power is exercised under the control of His holy will. God's limitless power is exercised under the control of His holy will. Four, He is able to do all things which are the objects of His power within the parameters of His holy character, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He is able to do all things which are the objects of His power within the parameters of His holy character, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Five, He can do all things which are not self-contradictory or contradictory to His own essence. He can do all things which are not self-contradictory or contradictory to His own essence. 6. If God's power is limited at any time, if God's power is limited at any time, it is because of self-imposed limitation consistent with His plan and His essence. If God's power is limited at any time, it is because of self-imposed limitation consistent with His plan, His sovereignty, and His essence. 7. God can do all He wills to do. God can do all He wills to do, but He may not will to do all He can. But He may not will to do all He can. Psalm 62, verse 11 says, God has spoken. I have heard this, that power belong to God. Psalm 93, verse 1. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded Himself with power. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord, and abundant in power. So point one was definition, description. Point two, God's power is not related to muscle. There you go. God's power is not related to muscle. Now we think of it, you got to have muscle to have power. Of course, some of you, you just try to, would like to just have a muscle, you know. Man usually associates power with the physical body and with muscles. But God doesn't have muscles. In fact, He doesn't even have a body. He's a spirit. While man lifts weights and works out to increase power and strength, God has always had infinite power. And He has never needs to work out. So God's power is not related to muscle. Let's amplify that. One, God's power never increases nor decreases. God's power never increases nor decreases. Two, man can cause nothing to exist by the force of his will. Man can cause nothing to exist by the force of his will. However, three, the omnipotent God can bring an entire universe into existence by the force of his will. The omnipotent God can bring an entire universe into existence by the force of his will. Four, God's omnipotence operates directly through his volition. His sovereignty. Genesis 1 verse 3. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Five, the omnipotence of God guarantees that whatever He has promised in His word, He is also able to perform. The omnipotence of God guarantees that whatever He has promised in His Word, He is also able to perform. Job 42, verse 2. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Job 42, 2. 6. All human and angelic power is subordinate to the omnipotence of God. All human and angelic power is subordinate to the omnipotence of God. Seven. God has perfect integrity, absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Therefore, He never abuses His power. He never abuses His power. Eight, God will never make right wrong or wrong right. And nor will He ever act foolishly. God will never make right wrong or wrong right, nor will He ever act foolishly. Nine, the omnipotence of God is very closely related to the integrity of God, because it provides the power and ability to either bless or discipline. The omnipotence of God is very closely related to the integrity of God because it provides the power and ability to bless or to discipline. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 8. For God has power to help, blessing, and the power to bring down, discipline. The foundation of the throne of God is the integrity of God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Psalm 89, 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Again in Psalm 97 verse 2, righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. And this means that our contact point with God is His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And therefore, all blessing and or discipline comes directly from the righteousness and justice of God. 10. The omnipotence of God combines with the integrity of God to execute judgment and discipline on all reversionists, whether they are believers or unbelievers. The omnipotence of God combines with the integrity of God to execute judgment and discipline on all reversionists, whether they're believer reversionists or unbeliever reversionists. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6 says this, O Lord, the God of our fathers, art Thou not God in the heavens? And art Thou not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in Your hand, so that no one can stand against Thee. And then Paul writes in Romans 9, verses 17 and 22. Romans 9:17. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. Verse 22. What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? 11. The omnipotence of God combined with the integrity of God to bless spiritually mature believers. The omnipotence of God combines with the integrity of God to bless spiritually mature believers. Now, I've been reading a lot of these, and I hope you write them down and you look them up yourself. But turn over to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. This is the omnipotence of God combined with the integrity of God to bless spiritually mature believers. Now, in 1 Chronicles 29, we have spiritually mature believer David, a winner believer. The author of most of the Psalms, the human author, is David. And in verse 10 it says, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you, prosperity and blessings. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power, to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Praising his glorious name is praising his essence, his attributes. David knew he loved God because he knew God. He knew the essence of God. He knew the attributes of God. You have to know God before you can ever love God. Then 2 Peter 1 verse 3. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. That's the spiritual life. Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and virtue. Subpoint 12. The spiritually mature believer celebrates the omnipotence of God from maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. The spiritually mature believer celebrates the omnipotence of God from maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. Psalm 21, verse 13. Be thou exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. I say amen. Psalm 59, verse 16. But as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your grace in the morning. For you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. And then Psalm 45, verse 11. The mature believer shall praise you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Psalm 145, verse 11. Brings us to point three. Manifestations of the omnipotence of God. Manifestations of the omnipotence of God. One, the unbeliever sees the omnipotence of God manifested all about him in creation, so that he is without excuse. He is without excuse for rejecting Jesus Christ as his Savior. The unbeliever sees the omnipotence of God manifested all about him in creation, so that he is without excuse for rejecting Jesus Christ as his Savior. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, which says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." All you have to do is go out and look at Jesus Christ's handiwork. He created all things, created the heavens and the earth. Look out and see, when you look and you're looking at stars, you're not looking at stars, you're looking at galaxies. What you think is a star is a whole galaxy. Who created all those galaxies? Jesus Christ. Who created all the stars? Who created our sun? Jesus Christ. The moon? Jesus Christ. I remember we were up at we had a cabin at Cold Creek for a long time, and I love going up there because you're away from all the lights of Las Vegas. And when you went out and looked up, you saw bazillions of stars. And my two sons went out. They were in college. No. They were little guys. And they look up and they go, "Wow, there has to be at least 20 stars up there." I said, "Yeah." And there was a fella on our track team. And actually, this fellow was just a pain in the neck. You know, he was just an arrogant jackass, basically. And he was a pole vaulter. And he thought he was very excellent. He was okay. And we're going over to the University of Washington to have a track meet with the Huskies. And we never flew. We were on a bus. And we stopped at the Cascade Mountains. But on the way, before we got to the Cascade Mountains, I was sitting by another pole vaulter who was a believer in Jesus Christ. And we were talking about, there was a fellow who came, a part of Campus Crusade for Christ, and he presented the gospel to the kids. There were thousands of students who went to see this. And he was an illusionist, and he would do all these tricks, and then he took a break, gave them a chance to leave if they wanted to, but then when we came back, and everybody came back, except for this pole vaulter, he didn't, and he would give the grace gospel. Well, this fella, this pole vaulter behind us, Jack and I were talking about how great that was when Andre Cole was there and giving his, presenting the grace gospel to all those kids. That was so fantastic. Anyway, this guy behind, hey, Olson, I was there. Did you guys stay? I didn't stay for the second half. Did you stay? What did he say at the second half? I knew this guy was so arrogant. I got to turn around. He said, Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid for all your sins. If you believe in him, go to heaven. If you don't, you're going to hell. There. Now that'll shut him up. A few more seconds, he taps. He goes, now what do I do? I said, what? Now what do? I just believed in Jesus Christ. No, you can't. You're going to hell. Well, shortly after, the bus stopped at the top of the Cascade Mountain. And he is a believer in Jesus Christ. By the way, he's called me here several times. He called me his spiritual father. For giving him the gospel, and he believed in Christ, and he's called and thanked me on several occasions. He got out, and I said, see all of this? See all these mountains? Huh? Jesus Christ created all it. He says, you know, I have gone over this, the Cascade, so many times. This is the first time I have seen it as the handiwork of God. It's the handiwork of Jesus Christ. The same one who went to the cross and paid the penalty for all your sins, he created us. Oh, fantastic. And, you know, just you never know who's going to believe in Christ. So always be prepared and always be ready. You all are royal ambassadors for Jesus Christ to present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And you don't know who's going to believe in Christ and who is not. But you have the good news of the gospel to give to them. This fellow believed in Christ. And like I said, he's called me here several times to say thank you again for giving me the gospel. And he calls me, you're my spiritual father. I'm going to be in heaven, but you gave me the gospel. So the unbeliever sees the omnipotence of God manifested all about him in creation so that he is without excuse for rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior. 2, the Lord Jesus Christ made the earth by his power, as well as everything on the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. He created the earth by his power, as well as everything on the earth. Jeremiah 10:12. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the earth by his wisdom, and by his understanding, he has stretched out the heavens. Jeremiah 27:5. I have made the earth, the men and the beasts which are on the face of the earth by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I will give it to the one who is pleasing in my sight. Turn over to Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51. I don't want you to just sit there and you have your Bible. See? Jeremiah 51:15. He made the earth by His power. He founded the world by His wisdom and stretched out the heavens by His understanding. Turn over to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. He simply spoke. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth. No muscles, no working out. He simply spoke. And they were created. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it came into being. He commanded and it stood firm. Turn over to John, Gospel of John, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, which was not a beginning, was the Logos. The Word. And the Word was is the verb eimi, imperfect tense. The eternally existing Logos, the Word. And the Word, the Logos, eimi, was eternally existing face to face with God, God the Father. And the Word, the Logos, Jesus Christ, eternally was, eimi, eternally was God. He was in the beginning, face to face with God. Again, eimi. He was eternally in the beginning, which was not a beginning, face to face with God. And all things came into being through Him, Jesus Christ. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Verse 10. He was in the world. And the world was made by Him. And the world did not know Him. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 16. For by Him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. And then, not only that, but verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, all things are being held together. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. And then, one more, turn over to Hebrews 1, Hebrews 1, verse 2. Hebrews 1, verse 2, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. So the Lord Jesus Christ made the earth by his power as well as everything on the earth. He created all things, the heavens and the earth. All right, well, we haven't finished with the omnipotence of God, but we're going to take our break. We have coming up the communion service. Take a break in a few minutes, part two of the communion service.